And as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, every whit of sin. Salvation, how easy. You just have to believe, Bill. That's it. Isn't there something I have to do? No, you just have to believe in your heart.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello again and welcome. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill continues his study in the New Testament epistle of Romans. Let's join Pastor now for the conclusion to the message, Salvation by Faith Alone.
You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You're finished in Christ. In other words, he's going to get you through. Man, listen, when you understand that no matter what you do, nothing will add to the righteousness that God has placed into your account. And the reason is because it's not your righteousness. It's his righteousness. Amen? And it's unchangeable. Oh, I celebrate. Listen, do you know why? Why do we do works? Why do Christians serve? Why do Christians go to foreign countries? Why do we give? Why do we go back and teach our kids? Why do we read our Bibles? You know why we do works? Because we love the Lord. We love the Lord. I'll never forget Pastor Chuck. He said this. He said to all the pastors, he says, listen to me. He said, it is impossible to believe in Jesus Christ and do nothing. I said, yes. That shook some of you up, didn't it? It's impossible to be a believer. See, the evidence of our justification is that we're moving on. We're doing what God said in his word. Amen? That means he really does live in us. Pastor Chuck, he said, no, listen. Love is the highest force for the believer, and it's the only acceptable motive for serving God, and he accepts absolutely no other. You know, Pastor Chuck, if you know, he's gone home now, but he had a way to look at you. You're not here. He was always smiling, you know. But when you were alone, when you're just the guys or something, I said, I'd get in the back row. Because he would look, he said, listen, you know, and he was serious. He says, you know what? If love doesn't motivate you to serve Jesus, then you need to stop. You need to get out of the ministry because it's not worth 2 cents to God. Boy, that is a good word. You see, why do we work? Why do we do things for the Lord? The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:8, it says, for grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Here it comes. Not of works. You can't earn it. Lest anyone should boast. No, salvation is by faith alone, loved one. Now, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Here it is. For good works. The things that God has prepared for us that we should walk in them. Salvation by faith alone. Works do not result in salvation. They result from salvation. So what does Paul do now? He's going to quote Psalm 32 that David penned about his sin with Bathsheba and his having Uriah, her husband, murdered. Now watch what he does here. You know, remember that Abraham now lived before the law. David lived under the law, okay? All right, now watch this. Look at this imputed righteousness in verse 6. Watch. He says, just as David also describes the happiness, the joy, the blessedness of the man whom God, what? Imputes. There's that word again, that transfer, if you will, into your account, who imputes righteousness or that right standing with God. And he does so how? Apart from works. See, what did Paul do? He approved it by scripture. He went to King David and said, listen, King David and I, we're on the same page together. Now, so we move from that imputed righteousness to the imputed sin. Verse 7, David continues the psalm. He goes, and blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And don't miss this. Blessed, oh, how happy, how victorious is the man to whom the Lord shall what? Not impute sin. There's that same word again. Transfer over a credit to your account. Listen, by God's grace, David grabbed a hold of that because he was forgiven of all that he had done, you know, with the adultery, the lying, and the murdering of Uriah. Listen, David and Bathsheba, did they break the law? And the law commanded them to be stoned to death. Now listen, right here, God forgave David apart from the law. He wasn't stoned at all. Matter of fact, if you read in Samuel, what does it say? When Nathan the prophet went to King David, he said, the Lord has done something. The Lord has put away your sin. That's why David said in verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. When a person comes to Christ, when we came to the Lord, something happens. David just told us what happens with our sin. It says, look there at verse 7 again. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds, literally that's transgressions, where we stepped over the line. We knew it was wrong, but we did it anyway. Blessed are those lawless deeds. They're what? Forgiven. Do you know what that word forgiven means? It means to send away. Listen to me now. This is so incredible to me. I think about this. God made it possible somehow to completely separate sin from the sinner, even though we're sinners. Do you understand? He sends all of our sins away. And I think, oh, Lord. And he said, well, Bill, prove that to me. Okay, how about Psalm 103, verse 12, where it says this, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions, our sins, our iniquities from us. Yeah. Listen to me. Somebody get out a tape measure and give me a measurement on how far it is from the east from the west. You can't calculate it, can you? No. Listen, if I get in a plane and fly east, will I always be going east? This side, I don't know. Father, we pray for, no. Listen, you're going to always be going east. Isn't that right? Okay, how far is the east is from the west? Well, you can't calculate it. Now, if you want to go find your sins, you're in a lot of trouble. You can't find them because God says, I've sent them away. Listen, that's what it means when we say salvation is by faith alone, when we've been justified. Look at it again. He says, look at verse 7 again. Whose sins are what? Covered. Listen, our sins are more than covered. Our sins, because of salvation by faith alone in Christ, our sins are not only covered, loved one, they are completely canceled by the precious blood of our Savior. Now, dear God, covered, you know what that word really means? The word covered means to cover so completely they can never be uncovered again. You see why we need to think like God thinks? And get that sin consciousness out of our life and say, no, I'm not going to deal with it. Look at this last one. This is the best one. Blessed, oh, how happy is the man whom the Lord shall not, and there it is, impute sin or credit sin to his account. When I look, I say, oh, Lord, that means, why are we blessed? It means because the Lord, when it concerns our sin, it means the Lord will never count our sin against us, because Jesus paid for our sin. Amen? Do you understand? And now we're in the one who paid for it, the spotless, sinless Son of God. It means that because he wouldn't credit sin to David's account or our account, because now that we're in Christ, it literally means that he'll never charge us, or never will he treat us like we were sinners, because we've been justified just as if we had never, ever sinned. God has written off on our records, gone forever, to the one who has trusted in Jesus Christ. I say, oh God, you're so good. On the credit side, Christian, of your account, just like David, just like Abraham, we possess all that God could ever demand from us, we now have in our account. It is by grace that you've been saved. Oh, and I look and I say, oh, Lord, you're so wonderful. The Bible says in Isaiah 43, 25, God says, I am him who blots out your transgressions. Now, listen carefully. Transgressions, iniquity, sins, all of it. And he says, for my name's sake. For my name's sake. What does that do? It removes all human effort. You can't do it. You see, salvation is by faith alone. God says, oh no, you can't do it. You never could do it, but I can. For my name's sake, and listen to what he says, and I will remember your sins no more. God, in his divine forgetfulness, Romans 8:1, remembering therefore is now no condemnation, no judgment, no guilt, nothing, no charges to the one who is in Christ Jesus. Loved one, listen to me. Our sins are forgotten. And what God has forgotten can never rise up to condemn you, ever. Do you really believe that? Do you understand that Jesus really did? He paid it all for you and paid it all for me. And when we stand before the Bema seat of Christ, we're not going to be judged for one sin because Jesus paid for all of the sins of the world, past, present, and future. Are you understanding? And as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, not some sin, every whit of sin. And I think, oh God, salvation, how easy. You mean I just have to believe, Bill? That's it. Isn't there something I have to do? No, you just have to believe in your heart. Now look what he does. Look what Paul does. Now in verse 9, he says, does this blessedness, meaning not being charged with our sin and sin credited to our account, he says, does it come upon the circumcised only, meaning the Jew, or maybe the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith, meaning simply believing God now, that faith, here's that word again, accounted, credited, deposited into our account. It says, was accounted, credited to Abraham for righteousness, for right standing in the presence of God. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Now listen to what Paul says. Not while, it says, not while circumcised, but when he was uncircumcised. Now, you know, I've already taught on this, I believe, in Romans chapter 2. Remember that circumcision to the Jew was a sign and the seal of the covenant, indicating that they were the people of God, and that removal of the flesh. Even for us, it's the walking, though, in the spirit, not in the flesh. It's symbolic of that, or water baptism even. Now, so we look at all this and remember that the rabbis, they taught that everyone who is circumcised, you go to heaven. No one will be forbidden, you know, meaning a Jewish man. But this salvation by faith alone happened before Abraham ever did anything, before he was ever circumcised. You see, let me prove it to you. In Genesis chapter 12, Abraham was how old when God called him? That's okay, I know, 75, okay? About my age. Hallelujah. Now, let me ask you another question. Did Abraham have the law of Moses? No, he didn't have the law of Moses. Now, the law of Moses, the law didn't come until 400 years later. That which means that Abraham died long before the law. Not only that, listen, that means he had no way of knowing even what the law required. No, he didn't have it at all. In Genesis 15:6, it says, remember, Abraham was counted as righteous before God long before there were any Jews, even though so shall your descendants be, Abraham. No. And then at the age of 99, Ishmael was 13, his son, by the slave woman. He was circumcised. So listen, Abraham was then declared in right standing with God, or righteous before God, when he was still uncircumcised. Amen? Before he could do anything at all. Now look what happens here in verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision. That's that physical mark, if you will. It says, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had. He possessed it, which he had while still uncircumcised. Now listen, Paul is really, this is destroying the Jew right now. He's just driving him crazy. You see, it's twofold. Circumcision is a sign. You can't miss it, okay? It's a sign, but it's also a seal. It's an identity, if you will. But the seal is a guarantee of the permanency for the Jew. In other words, the seal, the rite of circumcision is an unchangeable act. And that was the guarantee. And, you know, when we were circumcised where? In our hearts, Colossians 2:11. That divine surgery that our Lord did for us when we were born again. And we've been sealed as well, and it is permanent. And that is the seal of the Spirit. It says in Ephesians 1:13, it says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed. That's it. Just believe. Salvation by faith alone. Having believed, there's what happened. You were, past tense, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now listen to me. That's a permanent act. God doesn't seal those he doesn't change. Do you know that? Yes, it's a permanent act. Man, the Holy Spirit is in us. We're sealed. And what does that denote? Number one, it denotes ownership. He owns us. Number two, it means protection or security. But number three, it means we are the property of Jesus. Amen? And it means that no one will, if we're truly saved, no one will ever be able to snatch us out of his hand. Now, look at it again in verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, the seal of righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised. And here's the reason why. That Abraham, that he might be the father of who? Of all. Everyone, Jew, Gentile, of everyone who believes salvation by faith alone. Though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness, here's this word again, might be imputed, credited, if you will, to their account. And the father of the circumcision to those who are not of the circumcision, but who also walk in the eyes of faith, which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. You see, the Jew was trusting in a ritual, just like baptism. People say, you know, you're saved, but you must be water baptized. Don't tell that to the thief on the cross, okay? Did he go to paradise with the Lord? Yes. Why? He believed. That's it. He couldn't do anything. He was nailed to the cross, never served in Sunday school, never tithed, never did anything. He was dying. Lord, remember me. You'll be with me today. Praise the Lord. That's it. You mean, how do you say, don't do anything but believe? Oh, no, you got to get in the water. Yes, after you're saved, but that doesn't save you. You get in the water because you are saved. Does that make sense? Oh, God is so good. And listen, Abraham's now the spiritual father of all who believe. He's our spiritual father, if you will. Now, listen, Paul just turned the entire Jewish world upside down. And those verses that we have just read about circumcision literally tore down the wall that separated the Jew and the Gentile. God only has one body, amen? Oh, and I look and I say, oh, Lord. And here's the deal now. Listen, it says, this is very important. It says they all must what? Walk in the steps. That's a military word. It means get in single file. It means to follow the footsteps, literally follow the footsteps of Abraham, walk just like he walked. Now listen, before he was circumcised. That's what he's telling the Jew. What is he saying? He's saying the only way to be saved is not a ritual. It's not church membership. It's not water baptism. The only way to be saved is just like Abraham. How is that? He believed. That's it. He believed what God said. He believed what God said in his word. Look there. Next week, I don't want to get ahead, but just look at verse 23. Watch this. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, that righteousness, okay? But also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus the Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, meaning our sins, and was raised because of our what? Our justification. Listen, let me ask you a question. Was Abraham a Jew? No. He was from where? Ur of the Chaldees. He became the father of the Jewish race. Whenever God called him in Genesis 12, let me quickly read it. It says, now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, get away from your family, get away from your father's house to a land that I'm going to show you. Show you. Abraham went out not even knowing where he was going. But this verse, by stepping out, where did it lead? It led to Isaac. It led to Jacob. Are you following me? It led to David. It leads to the Messiah. It leads to the second coming of Christ. All of this one verse is right there. And listen to what God says he'll do. He says, I will make, not Abraham. He says, God says, I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make you your name great, Abraham. And you shall be a blessing. I will, God says, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. From Abraham, through there came our Lord Jesus Christ. God called one man out of all the people on the planet. Now listen, God said, I will. That means that Abraham didn't have to make this work. Amen? Do you understand? God said, I'm going to do this. You can't do it, Abraham. You just believe I'm going to do it. You see, I believe that he who began a good work in you, in me, he will complete it to the very moment, the very second, the very day of Christ Jesus. That's what the word of God says. See, that's faith. What does the Bible tell us in Romans 10:9? It says, oh, listen, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, meaning he's your Lord, and if you'll believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, God says you will be saved, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. The moment salvation is all by faith alone. It's to everyone who believes, but only by faith alone. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith, simply believing God. Faith knows how to wait on God. Faith knows how to, faith moves mountains, amen? Faith says God is working his perfect will in my life. Faith doesn't make one thing easy, but faith makes all things possible. Yes. I say, oh God, you're so good. Listen to me now. I know it's time to go, but Jesus, why did he come? Why did he come? Why did he die upon the cross? Why was he born? He came and he started seeking the lost to save them. Amen? In other words, he came to take away the penalty of our sin. Our sin was put upon him. That's why he came. Why did he ascend to heaven and sit down at the right hand of God? It says, after purging our sins. Why did he go to heaven? Because, see, Jesus paid the penalty of our sins, but now it's the power of sin. He's our intercessor. He's the one that's praying for us. Amen? He's the one that's keeping us strong. He's our advocate. When we sin and God says, oh, they've sinned, Jesus said, I'm their advocate. I paid past, present, future. Amen. He's never lost a case. He's a great attorney. All right? Now, so we talk about the penalty of sin, the power of sin. Now, listen to me. When Jesus comes back, whether it's the rapture or at the second coming, when he comes back for us, we will then forever and ever and ever be freed from the presence of sin. What a glorious day that will be, when sin will be no more. Amen. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this day. We thank you for the precious word of God. And God, we know that you cannot lie. Lord, I pray this morning as we close with song, I pray that at the end of this song, oh God, if there's anyone here, they would say, Bill, I'm not certain of my salvation. Or I don't know that I'm really, truly saved. Well, then I pray they will come to this altar where they will find men that will love them and pray for them. And they can step out of death and step right into life. They can step right out of sin and step into the righteousness, the perfect, spotless, sinless record of Jesus Christ. Bless your people, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church said,
thanks everyone for tuning in today. And just a reminder, Pastor Bill's series from Romans continues on our next broadcast. And we hope to see you once again. Have a great rest of your day and bye for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.